This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 6 of Blaze Kids Radio, brought to you by Blaze Kids Magazine and part of the Horse Radio Network. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible. Our sponsors are Schlake and the AQHA. This is Jeff.
And this is Jessica, and you're listening to Blaze Kids Radio.
Well, how have you been, Jessica? How are you? How's Jasper? And I heard, or I saw on Facebook that the horseshoe lease has had a little bit of a situation that worked its way out. Tell our listeners about that.
That horse's name is Sunaboo, and she is a horse that I lease once a week at the farm I keep Marty and Jasper. And we don't know exactly how she came across it, but one of the people, the night before the incident happened, noticed her lying down in her stall and thought it was like nothing. Like sometimes horses do lay down, but in the morning she was still laying down, and the person who saw her called the person who owns her, and she ended up calling the vet, and the vet said that she had a twisted colon. And I came on Sunday, the day I was supposed to take a lesson, and I saw her lying on the ground, and I got really freaked out, and I heard it was colic, and I kind of, like, held my breath, like, oh, no, what's going to happen now? Because, you know, colic, sometimes horses can, like, you know, die from that.
Oh, yeah, that's serious. Scared.
So I ended up standing there for 8 hours with her, and holding her up and walking her around and stuff to try to keep it from getting worse. And the vet came a second time to give her some medicine that hopefully to get out anything. The night of the colic, she got all freaked out and started kicking and stuff, and it was kind of hopeless from there because we couldn't really do anything about it besides take her to New Bolton, a horse hospital. So I kind of stood there, and she started kicking out really wildly and bucking in her stall because she was really uncomfortable, and she was on an IV. And she pooped a little bit, and we were kind of like, oh, my gosh, she pooped. But we're like, we didn't exactly know what to think of it until, because we didn't know if it was, like, it was twisted, so we didn't know if it was on the back part of the twist. But it ended up, she kicked out wildly more, and she got walked around by her owner, and she pooped lots in the morning, and we are so excited, so she's good now.
Wow. So maybe she took care of herself. Maybe a little fit. Her temper tantrum was probably saved her owners a lot of money, but I'm so glad to hear that that she worked it out, you might say, and maybe that's what it took. You know, this week after we did our interview with Debbie, as you remember, on our last episode from Gentle Therapy. I got a chance to talk to Debbie again because Blaze Magazine really wants to do something to help Gentle Therapy and Magic. Remember, we talked about their kind of lead miniature in the therapy program. So what we're going to be doing is creating kind of a trading card or a postcard personalized by Magic that they can give away to kids when Magic goes to visit them. And Debbie was telling me that they see over 25,000 kids in a year. You know, not all of them are kids that are sick or have disabilities, but kids that have been through tough times like the Sandy Hook tragedy that she talked about. So Blaze is going to help out Magic with his own personalized trading card. They're going to do a little hoof print on there, and we'll be seeing those cards shortly. And our subscribers to Blaze Magazine will all get one too. So that was something nice that turned out from our a really nice interview with Debbie last week. So that was last time. This time we have another fun fact-filled show for our listeners. Our Did You Know segment is a tasty one, you might say. Jessica and I have studied up on horses' sense of taste and learned some really interesting things that we want to share with you. And our Where'd That Come From segment is back this time with some everyday cliches or phrases that you might hear your parents or your grandparents say that refer to horses. We're going to tell you where those cliches came from and something that maybe your parents might not even know. Jessica will be introducing you to Shutterbug Sean Hamilton. A shutterbug, it's an old word for photographer. And Sean loves to photograph one subject specifically, and that's horses. And she takes incredible photos of horses. So Jessica will introduce you to her. And I'll introduce you to Jen Reed, who works at the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Utah and spends most of her day in the Horse Haven program, which cares for rescued horses. And the horses and other pasture pals at Best Friends Horse Haven have some extraordinary journeys to share as well. And our good friend Carly is back to take you back in time to the year 1882 in Long Branch, New Jersey. In fact, with a story about Liberty, a beautiful thoroughbred filly, and a little girl who share something special. That's all coming up, but first a message from one of our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Kelsey, and I like Schlage. Actually, I work at Schlage, where we make wonderful toy figurines, like the horses with braided manes. There are just so many to choose from. Did you know that each one is hand-painted? That's why they all look so great. Each one is special because it's so unique. Check out the beautiful Lipizzaner mare with a French braid, or the ornately braided Fell Pony Stallion. Oh, and what about the lovely Halfinger or Shire mare? It's just so hard to decide who to play with, so I'll include them all. You can too. Just go to your local toy store or ask a parent to help you go online to schlage-s.com to find a store near you. You can also look at all of the other horses we make and even download cool apps or other fun activities. Don't forget to look in your Blaze magazine for the test to find out which Schlage horse is best for you and for our beautiful braids photo contest where you could win $50 worth of braided manes horses from Schlage. Playing with Schlage horses is the best. Until next time, have fun horsing around.
We're back with our Where Did That Come From segment that we introduced in one of our first shows. If you are a regular listener, you know that we like to mix our segments up a little bit, show to show. And this is another fun one. There are tons of little phrases in the English language that have their own special meaning, but literally make no sense if you don't know what they mean. They're called clichés. You know, kind of like, I'm in hot water, meaning you're in trouble. Or I've put my foot in my mouth when you say something you shouldn't have. And tons of them have their origins, or came from, the horse world. So let's start with this one, and you've probably heard it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's a popular one. Do you know what it means? This cliche goes back more than 800 years. It means that someone can tell someone else to do something, but they can't make them do it.
How about this one? Did you know someone who eats like a horse? This cliche comes from the fact that horses spend much of their time eating large amounts of food. Their digestive system is unusual. For such a big animal, they have a small digestive system. Food passes through them quite quickly. So horses need to eat more food to get more nutrients. To eat like a horse is to eat a lot.
Have you ever heard someone being referred to as long in the tooth? The cliche goes back to 1852. When horses were sold, their teeth were checked to tell how old they were. As horses age, their gums recede and their teeth appear longer. So a person who is said to be long in the tooth is someone who is old and wise. And now you know where that came from. More horsey cliches for you in future episodes of Blaze Kids Radio.
Our next guest's work has taken her around the world. She's covered equestrian sports at 5 Olympic Games, from Spain to Hong Kong. Sean Hamilton has experienced South Africa and Chile and Argentina on horseback, and her horsey photos have graced the covers of many magazines, as well as her Crazy for Horses children's book series. Her company is called Clicks Photography. Welcome to Blaze Kids Radio, Sean.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Leave for Costa Rica tomorrow, so I'm escaping the cold weather for a little while.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Doing any photography there?
Yes, I'm actually going there to cover a riding vacation. I'm doing it for a riding vacation article for the Canadian Horse Journals magazine.
Sounds interesting. So when did you acquire the liking for photography?
Oh, I started taking pictures at a very young age, probably 10, 11 years old. I love taking pictures. And an aunt and uncle of mine bought me my first 35mm camera for Christmas one year, I think when I was about 13 or 14. And that was about the same time I started riding horses as well.
Do you get hired for a magazine, or do they just buy your work to put on the magazine?
Well, how it started was I was working in the computer science field, and I still took pictures, and I would go to horse shows on weekends. And I started taking pictures of my friends at the horse show, and then I started showing the pictures to them, and one thing led to another. The next thing I knew, I would be the official photographer at a horse show and selling photos to the individual riders and horse owners. And when I had my first child, she is now 23, I decided not to go back to work and pursue my photography as a career. And so once I started doing the horse shows, I then decided to submit my photos to different Canadian magazines. And to my surprise, they both phoned me on the same day while I was at my full-time job then and requested a photo of mine for the cover of their magazine. So that gave me the confidence to sort of jump in with both feet. And now what happens is magazines will send me their guidelines of what they need and their deadlines, and I will submit photos to them for the articles that are coming up in their next issues.
Tell us what it's like to be, like, going to all these new places and stuff.
Well, the first time I photographed the Olympics was in Barcelona, and that was when I first thought, wow, I've really made it. This is pretty cool. And I've done 4 other Olympics since then. Now I really enjoy the riding vacations because the articles, because you get to meet all different people from all over the world. And the one common denominator that we all have is our passion for horses. So that's a lot of fun.
So it seems like a lot of fun, but is there any really hard parts about doing this job?
Yes, maybe 20% of it is being able to go on the riding vacations and go to people's barns and photograph their horses, and the other 80% is sitting in front of the computer, editing and processing your photos and uploading to the website and submitting to magazines and invoicing and writing. So a lot of it is still sitting at a desk behind a computer, unfortunately.
So you kind of have, like, a little bit of fun, but mostly work.
That's right. But then you get to relive the fun as you're processing your photos, so that's kind of nice. It puts you right back there.
Do you, like, just stick with horses, or do you photograph some other animals, too?
Well, there's a magazine called Horse Illustrated, and it's owned by a company called i5 Publishing in the U.S., and they publish a number of magazines on farming called Hobby Farms, Hobby Farm and Home. They do annual ones on chickens, ducks, pigs, turkeys, you name it. So I've started to work with them as well, and I do enjoy that, going to small farms. I just finished doing a day shoot in Ontario and Quebec on ducks. I was quite surprised to find out how many breeds of ducks there actually are. These are farm-raised ducks, not wild ducks. So I have ventured out into the animals, and I also have a passion for skiing, so I've done quite a bit of ski photography as well.
I love skiing too, and I usually go about once every winter.
But only once?
Yeah, only once, sadly. So any tips for young horse people that would like to get into photography?
Yes. I think first and foremost, you need to have some sort of a business degree. You have to have an education in marketing skills and accounting and that type of thing, because you could be the best artist in the world or the best photographer in the world, but if you can't get yourself out there and you don't know how to market yourself and you don't know how to do collections and invoicing and how to run a business, how to deal with people, then you're not going to be successful at it. So I think business experience or a business background is definitely a must.
So I know a lot of people want to find out more about you and what you do and like everything like that. So what is your website address so our listeners can check out your fantastic course photos?
My website address is www.clixphoto.com, which is CLIXPHOTO.com.
Okay. Thank you for attending here, and thank you for answering all my questions. I know I had fun. I hope you had fun. Thank you.
Yeah, it was very fun. Thank you very much. It was nice talking to you.
Hey, y'all, the American Quarter Horse Association rewards members for riding their horses. You heard me right. Rewards for just riding your horse, any breed, anywhere. Join the AQHA Horseback Riding Program today to start earning prizes from the AQHA's corporate partners just for spending time in the saddle. Visit them at AQHA.org to sign up today. That's AQHA.org.
And now it's time to go back in time with our Once Upon a Horse story. Carly is back with us again to tell a tale about a very special thoroughbred filly named Liberty, who learned how to be a magnificent horse from a little girl who knew exactly how the big horse felt.
There once lived a horse named Liberty. In the year 1882, in Long Branch, New Jersey, there once lived a horse named Liberty. Liberty was a beautiful, leggy, thoroughbred filly. She was training and becoming a racehorse at a big racetrack called Monmouth Park. It was a place that was always busy with activity. It made Liberty very anxious. Since Liberty began her training, she experienced many new things that frightened her, including her bridle bit. When her trainer tried to put her bit in her mouth, Liberty would toss her head wildly as soon as the scary, shiny object came close to her nose. "Liberty," her trainer begged one day, "you must settle down. We need to show your owners what a magnificent horse you are. You must take the bit so we can train you properly." But Liberty was too frightened by all the new things to learn. "Okay, girl," her trainer comforted, "I think I know what to do. I believe that my daughter can help us. Before we came to America from England, we had a special way of talking to horses to calm them down. Maybe she can help you." Liberty didn't understand everything the man was saying, but his patience and soft words somehow made her feel better. She dropped her head and lightly licked her lips. "That a girl," the man said. "That's what we want." A short time later, the man returned with his young daughter. Liberty had become very anxious again while she was left alone. When she saw the bit in her trainer's hand, she began tossing her head and pacing back and forth. The young girl entered her stall. "Hello, Liberty," she said very quietly. "I know you're afraid of so many new things around you, and I understand just how you feel." Liberty stopped pacing and nervously listened to the girl. "You see," the girl continued in a soothing voice, "I just went through a scary new experience myself. When my father lost his job at the racetrack in England, we decided to move to America." Liberty dropped her head and softly licked her lips. The girl smiled and began stroking the horse's long neck. "I had to leave my cousins, aunts, uncles, and all the horses that I loved at the track. We boarded a very crowded ship for a 3-week voyage across the ocean. My parents assured me that everything would be okay, but I was still very frightened, especially when we sailed under the Statue of Liberty." Liberty relaxed even more when she heard her name. The girl went on, "We came to a place called Ellis Island. It was very busy and hectic, and scary." The girl then said in a quiet voice, "A lot like this racetrack." Liberty took a deep breath and licked her lips again. "We had to be inspected before we could come into America," she explained. "My mother told me that it was very important for me to stay calm. That was so hard to do. But I started to think of all the fun times I would have in this new country, and all of the beautiful horses I would meet. And now look, Liberty, I met you. You are such a beautiful thoroughbred, and just like me, your heritage goes back to England too. Liberty was calm and relaxed. The girl nodded to her father to enter the stall. Liberty was licking her lips when he held the bit up to her nose. Liberty sniffed it several times before licking the cool, shiny metal for a taste. It wasn't that scary after all. She opened wide and allowed the trainer to place the bit in her mouth. He secured the bridle over her ears. Liberty kept licking the bit. Her nervousness turned into excitement. She was thinking of the fun times she would have with her new friend. The girl smiled and looked at her father. "Now, let's go show Liberty's owners what a magnificent horse they have," she said calmly in her gentle voice.
We're so excited to take you to Horse Haven in Utah in this part of the show. Joining us is Jen Reed, who cares for horses, mules, goats, and sheep in their Horse Haven home. These animals get good food, room to roam, love and attention, and a beautiful canyon to call their home between homes as they heal both physically and emotionally. Welcome to the show, Jen, and we are really interested in what you do at Best Friend Sanctuary, and I know more specifically you're a manager at Horse Haven. So, you know, tell us what it's like. What kind of animals do you take care of there? How many do you take care of? How many are helping out? Fill our listeners in.
Well, I work in Horse Haven, as you said, and that's just one small corner of the sanctuary. And what we care for down here is obviously horses, but we have other animals as well. We have mules and donkeys and sheep and goats and pot-bellied pigs. So pretty much anybody that has hooves comes to our part of the barn down here.
One big pasture, or is there some separation in the area that you work in?
Yeah, we're spread out all over the canyon where Best Friend's Animal Sanctuary is in a beautiful place called Angel Canyon, and we're spread out over several miles. We've got all sorts of different areas. So our sheep and goats live together, but our pot-bellied pigs live in one area, our horses and other equines all live in, I think we have about 14 different paddocks and pastures throughout the canyon that they live in. So it really just depends on what their special needs are and where they're going to get on best as to where they live.
Yeah, I see. So Blaze Magazine and Blaze Kids Radio being an extension of that focuses on horses. So no disrespect to our other animals that you care for, but let's talk about the horses and maybe specifically, where do they come from?
You know, our horses and mules and donkeys come from a few different situations. Sometimes it's a situation where they maybe have some special need. Maybe it's a medical problem or a lameness problem, and their home is no longer able to care for them. And if space is available, they'll come with us. Sometimes, unfortunately, we get them from animal control or from a situation where their current owners are not really taking good care of them, and the animal control steps in and asks us to take them. So sometimes that happens. We also work with other sanctuaries and rescues if they have a particular individual that they're really struggling with. Sometimes we're able to take that animal on, and you know, that horse that has some special needs, maybe they're not able to be handled and touched and they need a lot of training. So those are kind of the normal routes, shall we say, that they make their way to us.
Yeah. So Horse Haven is the idea in that it's a temporary, it's a layover for another more permanent home. Is that the idea?
Well, the idea is we're a place where ultimately our goal is to find wonderful adoptive homes for all of our animals. But until that home comes along, we make a commitment that they get to live their life out here until just that right family comes along to take them home. And if for some reason, you know, sometimes things happen and the animals may need to come back to us. But ultimately, yeah, we want to find them good homes where they can go and be part of the family and be loved and be one of maybe a herd of two or three instead of a herd of 40.
Yeah, I see. Anyone that owns horses know that they can be expensive at times, not always, but it still costs some money to care for them. So where does that come from?
You know, we are incredibly fortunate here at Best Friends. We have amazing donors and supporters that make donations that allow us to help all of the horses that come to us. Sometimes it's individuals. We had a gal come and volunteer the other day that for her 14th birthday, instead of gifts, she asked all of her friends to make a donation that she later brought to Best Friends. So sometimes it's wonderful donations like that. Sometimes it's larger donations from corporations or individuals that are able to give larger sums. But yeah, it's all through donations from generous people.
And can people donate their time as well? Is there volunteer opportunities?
Oh, absolutely. We are open to volunteers every day of the year. We have folks that come out. And, you know, with horses, just because there are some safety issues, sometimes you need to be 12 years old to volunteer here at Horsehaven. But there are other areas in the sanctuary where younger folks can spend time as well. But as long as you're 12 years old or older, you can come to Horsehaven and you can help with mucking. That's always something that needs to be done. Or feeding or grooming or anything that way. Absolutely.
And is that part of the what I understand to be the Guardian Angel program from Best Friends, or is that something different?
The Guardian Angel program is a part of our website, which is www.bestfriends.org. And there's a segment on that website where we focus on very special needs animals, and we write little journal updates about their progress. For example, we had a little miniature horse. Her name was Missy, and she came to us with a broken leg, unfortunately. And we wrote about what we did to help her recover from her broken leg and heal, and happily, she recovered very well. And in fact, I'm just due to write the last update in her little Guardian Angel program journal and let everybody know that she went to her adoptive home this just 2 days ago. So it's a great way to really follow a very specific animal and really understand the care that they get here and, you know, really focus on those special needs guys.
Oh, that's a great story. So kids that aren't in your area of the country, that being Utah, they can follow animals that they support or donate to from whatever part of the country they're in, I suppose, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's lots of really amazing animals, but the ones on the Guardian Angel program, you know, they come in with some pretty big challenges to overcome. And, you know, it's a really nice way to be able to get more involved with, you know, what actually happens in their journey here.
Well, what a great program. I want you to, if you would, tell us again where kids can get more information, that being your website, and maybe how our Blaze Magazine readers and our Blaze Kids Radio listeners, where they would start if this is something they want to help with. And certainly it's coming up to that time of year where everybody can afford to be a little bit more generous, I think. So where do they go and how do they get started?
So they can go to our website, which is Best Friends, bestfriends.org, and that'll take them to our homepage. And there's a few different things that they can follow through the website there. They can link into our Guardian Angel program and look at those specific special needs animals, or they could look at our adorable adoptable section and find animals that are ready to go and find their forever homes or sponsor animals. You know, there's a few different links that you can get from the main page, and there's some really amazing animals here.
All right, fantastic. Well, we will publish that information or that website again for you on our Blaze Kids Radio website, as well as the magazine site, to remind kids that what a great opportunity for them, and certainly even greater for the animals you care for. So, Jen, thanks so much for your time today, and all the best. For details about today's show, go to www.blazekidsradio.com, where you can find links, photos, and more information about our guests. And as always, we love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Blaze Kids Mag. And you can subscribe to Blaze Kids Magazine at www.blazekids.com. Many thanks to our sponsors, Schleich and AQHA. And be sure to visit all of the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. And Jess, your Facebook.
My Facebook is Jess Blaze Kids Radio, where you can find all the stuff I post and about Jasper. And until next time, keep on blazing those trails.